Lucy is 89.1 WEMU, and you may have heard the Michigan legislature early this morning finally passed a state budget for the fiscal year that was to begin October 1st. I'm David Fair, and welcome to the October edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. The $80 million spending plan slightly boosts spending on K-12 schools while cutting taxpayer-funded economic development incentives. It includes $1.1 billion directed towards roads, paid for in part by a new 24% wholesale tax on marijuana and an increase in the state fuel tax. Now, when it comes to matters of environmental protections and investment, we're still sifting through the budget. My partner and co-host on First Fridays, he is the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lisa Wozniak. Thank you for coming in.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. And I'm very interested to learn more about what's in the new fiscal budget. This was obviously not a very easy process. Republicans had their priorities and Democrats fought to maintain what they thought was absolutely essential in the budget. Our guest was right in the thick of things all the way to the end, which came at about 3 o'clock this morning. State Senator Jeff Irwin is a Democrat from Ann Arbor and is on the other end of the WEMU phone line. I bet it was a long night, Senator.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Lisa. Thanks for having me on, David.
We obviously want to dive deeper into some of the environmental components in the new budget. But first, I want your firsthand account and impressions of what this year's budget process was like. Why was this year seemingly so much more difficult?
Well, this year we moved from having Democrats control the House and the Senate and the governorship to Republicans now controlling the House. So it was divided government. There was not as much agreement, and I think the new Republican speaker was more to the right, I think, of previous Republican speakers, and he also was, I think, adopting some of the strategies we've seen on the national level. From the very beginning of the year, he was threatening a state shutdown, and he knew that that would increase his leverage in the process, so he kept threatening that all the way until early this morning.
So in the days to come, we'll have an opportunity to take a closer look at specifics, but we can at least get a snapshot right now. And you are the chair of Appropriations for the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. What do you see as the most critical environmental priorities that were secured in the state budget?
Well, I think the most positive environmental priority that was secured in the state budget was probably that public transit got any piece of the new revenue that's going towards transportation. Road funding was the big winner of the day, and priorities like environmental protection took a small cut. The one positive thing I can say is that, as I mentioned, transit funding will get a $70 million bump as part of that $1.8 billion total road package.
So, obviously, you don't sound completely satisfied with the manner in which this turned out. What environmental opportunities, in your mind, were missed, or what critical services were cut as part of this spending plan?
Well, as I mentioned, I think within the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, within the broader environmental concerns, including folks over at DNR and whatnot, when the Republicans passed their proposed budget, there was dramatic cuts proposed to drinking water safety and brownfield cleanups and really across the board. And so I think there are probably some folks in our state departments and certainly some folks probably out there who are, you know, looking out for our environment who think that avoiding those huge cuts was a big win. And I think that you could certainly look at it that way. That's not how I look at it when I'm dealing with a bully, but I think that that's fair to say. But the biggest concern, I think, is that there's been this talk about how we can increase the gas tax in a way that doesn't cost drivers anymore because we're going to reduce the sales tax on gas. Well, that happened last night, but they did it in such a way where that gas drivers will not have a tax increase, but drivers of EVs will pay another $100 a year, and drivers of plug-in hybrids will pay another $50 a year. So I was very disappointed that we have a system in place currently where EV drivers and plug-in hybrid drivers pay an extra fee that is meant to pay for their fair share. Well, now, because of this change, they're going to pay a little more than their fair share. And I really think we should be striving to build the cars of the future here in Michigan, not looking for new ways to tax the cars of the future.
And that surcharge, Senator Irwin, if I'm not mistaken, it's the highest surcharge in the country. Is that correct?
Yeah. We, you know, like I said, we are going to be out in front in terms of taxing EVs. I've heard some arguments that maybe for some reason California's is a little higher. I don't know. But their gas tax is also a little higher. I think the unique thing here in Michigan is that the legislature went out of their way to control costs for gas drivers, but didn't exercise the same concern to make sure that costs for EV drivers and plug-in hybrid drivers remained commensurate with a cost that represents their fair share. And now they're actually paying more than that, which is a big win for the Republicans because they are in line with and loyal to the fossil fuel industry, and they wanted to do something to make EV drivers pay more.
This is 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. We're getting a snapshot of the new state budget passed early this morning as it touches the Michigan environment with Democrat Jeff Irwin. He's a state senator from Ann Arbor and chair of the Appropriations Committee for Eagle. And in talking about electric vehicles and commitment to the fossil fuel industry, it seems like this spending plan is going to make the local and state carbon neutrality goals more difficult. Is there an increase in revenue sharing that local units of government could utilize to maintain progress toward that end?
No, actually, there is a small decrease to revenue sharing. Well, it's more complicated than that, I suppose. On one level, you know, there is the normal and ordinary increases that go along with inflation, and so that's part of the budget. But in another part of the budget, because we are no longer charging the 6% sales tax on gas, in an effort to make sure drivers don't experience a tax increase from the increase in the gas tax, the drivers won't experience that. The EV drivers will. But part of what happens when you take away the 6% sales tax on gas is that the revenue sharing that would have been generated from that 6% sales tax is no longer generated. So local governments are going to lose out a little bit on that revenue. Now, I think that local governments are going to arguably get more dollars out of the road funding formula, but those dollars don't fall equally. And so, for instance, townships are the ones who are losing constitutionally protected revenue sharing, but none of the road funding dollars flow directly to them. They'll have to hope to get some from the county road commissioners that are getting more.
So another big issue these days is data centers. They require huge amounts of energy and water, and we've seen recent local proposals in Ypsilanti, Saline, and Augusta townships. Last fiscal year, the state worked to attract these businesses with tax incentives. Does this new budget address the environmental challenges or opportunities that come with this growing industry?
No, as far as I'm aware, there's nothing in the budget that speaks to this issue. As you know, Michigan passed that law last year, which was trying to bring additional data centers into our state. We already had about 44 of them, but you know, now I think the push is on to build these very, very large ones. And of course, Michigan's change last year that offers a sales tax break to these firms to locate these here has some protections for ratepayers and some protections for our water. For instance, it requires them to use municipal water. There's a line in the law that says that ratepayers can't pay more to subsidize these. But we're still going to have to, I think, improve those protections, but also, most importantly, actually enforce them. It's one thing to have them in law. It's another thing to enforce them.
With the federal government in partial shutdown, is there a possibility the state legislature is going to have to go back and revisit this budget plan once a federal spending plan is in place?
I think there's a possibility of that. I think that there are other reasons that the legislature might have to go back to the drawing board. I mean, you mentioned in the opener that there's this new 24% tax on cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
A lot was, there's a lot of discussion about that, but, this is a citizen-initiated statute, which means that normally it would require a three-quarters majority for the legislature to amend it. The legislature, in this case, is trying to amend it with less than a three-quarters majority, and there are some people who think that that's legal through, I don't know, they believe that maybe this tax is somehow not amending the initiative, even though the public set both the taxation rate.
It seems certain it's going to end up in court.
So, yeah, thanks for pushing me ahead. Yeah, this is going to end up in court, and it may get overturned, and if it does, that's a $400 million-plus hole in this plan. And, also, I think there's a really large chance that this plan isn't going to raise the revenue that it was promising to. There were some very rosy estimates as to what would happen from this cannabis tax. And, you know, I think that was necessary for some folks to get there on the budget. You know, the speaker said last night that was absolutely necessary for him to have a budget. But it's going to create problems down the line when it gets challenged in court and when customers start flocking to the black market.
The governor called it a balanced and bipartisan initiative. I get the sense that you're not as enthusiastic as she.
Well, you know, you don't have to be enthusiastic to know that our schools were twisted in the wind. They needed a budget. They didn't know what was going to be funded, and school had already started, and that's completely ridiculous, right? So even though I'm not bouncing off the walls about it, I never thought I would be, given what we were hearing from the Republican House, the threats they were making to cut half of the drinking water staff, to eliminate our PFAS standards, right, and to make big cuts in those other priorities that you know, we haven't talked about as much on this show, but education, healthcare, you know, public safety, they attacked every single priority in state government. And so even though I may not sound thrilled about the budget, I do have a lot of respect for the folks who slogged through it with that individual to get something on the table that could keep our state running and that could give our schools the signal they need to understand what their budget's going to look like for a school year they've already gotten a month into.
That is State Senator Jeff Irwin, a Democrat from Ann Arbor, discussing the new state budget on 89.1 WEMU-FM Ypsilanti.